We come now to the proclamation of God's word. Please first join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word, would you open us to receive your word? Give us softened hearts, hearing ears, seeing eyes, that we might come to know you more. Your word is truth, and your word gives life. Give us renewed life, expanded hope, and living faith as we now receive the preaching of your word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you did not bring your own Bible, I would encourage you now to take one from under the seat in front of you and open to our sermon text, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. It can be found on page 645 of the Pew Bibles. Our sermon this morning is titled, Marriage Rooted in Trusting the Lord. And our text is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, page 645. Hear now as I read to you God's holy, infallible word. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Amen. I'm sure most of you here today have been to your fair share of weddings, but I believe I'd be willing to wager it's very unlikely you've ever heard this passage read before at a wedding. It's not your typical wedding passage, like the great passage on love, 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails, or the beautiful passage on marriage found in Ephesians chapter 5. And yet, this is the passage that Stephen and Emily have chosen because it has had great significance in their lives. It is a passage that reveals our heart to us. And the heart is the anchor and the fountain from which flows our entire lives. It also has much to teach us about marriage, specifically what is required for a lasting, dynamic, intimate, and fruitful marriage. At the center of this passage stands this striking illustration comparing the thirsty, lonely desert shrub to the flourishing, deep-rooted, and fruitful tree planted by the stream. The difference between these two trees is a matter of the heart. What does your heart trust in? Are you trusting in man, which most often today means trusting in yourself and your own strength, or are you trusting in the Lord and in his mighty power? The difference is a matter of the heart, and the passage concludes with one of the most piercing reflections on the human heart in all of Scripture, revealing the deep depravity, the corruption of the human heart, as well as the only hope that can cure this desperately sick human heart. This morning, as Stephen and Emily enter into the covenant of marriage, we'll reflect on the foundational spiritual truths revealed here in this passage, as well as their specific applications to marriage. We'll actually begin with verses 9 through 10, looking at the human heart and the heart's only hope, and then we'll look at verses 5 through 8, the trust of the human heart. So first, verses 9 through 10, the human heart and the heart's only hope. Verse 9 gives us a diagnosis of the human heart, and the diagnosis is dire. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? In Scripture, the heart refers to man's inner being. The Hebrew concept of the heart includes all three faculties of our thinking, our feeling, our emotions, as well as our will that moves us to action. And therefore, all human thoughts, all human feelings, all human actions flow out of the heart. But here we see that the common proverb is true. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Although man was originally created good, after the image and likeness of God, all mankind fell when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate that forbidden fruit. They were plunged into sin and corruption. Most of all, the corruption of the human heart. Let's consider three aspects of Jeremiah's heart diagnosis here in verse 9. First, he says the human heart is deceitful above all things. It is full of falsehood and treachery. Your heart not only deceives others, but you deceive yourself as well. It will lead you astray. And in this, it is incomparable. He says, deceitful above all things. Second, the human heart is desperately, incurably sick. The disease is fatal. It's a terminal illness, a death sentence. As Scripture teaches, the wages of sin is death. And because our hearts are sinful, no human physician can kill this fatal disease of the heart. So the dying heart will lead to death for every human being. It's one reason that we all will face death one day. Third, Jeremiah says the human heart is unknowable. He cries out, "Who can understand it?" Since thoughts, feelings, and actions flow out of the heart, but you can't actually understand the heart, this is why you so often don't understand yourself. You can't answer the question, why? Why am I feeling this way? Why do these negative and worthless thoughts keep running through my mind? Why do I keep doing that which I don't want to do? And why don't I do that which I want to do? Why can't I change to be the person I want to become? It's true, self-reflection and counseling can help us to grow in understanding the heart. But no one can fully and truly understand their own heart. Verse 9 is the Bible's description of this problem of the human heart. It's superbly deceitful, incurably sick, beyond comprehension. And applying this to marriage, you can see the problems that it presents. How can you merge your life with someone else who has a deceitful heart that no one can understand, especially when you know your heart is sick and broken in the very same way? How can you trust one another? And next we have verse 10, which provides an answer to the question at the end of verse 9. Who can understand it? Who can comprehend this incomprehensible heart? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. We see here the good news is that the Lord knows the heart. He searches it. He tests it. And yet, isn't this also the bad news? For if the Lord searches the heart and all he finds there is deceit and falsehood, selfishness and pride, a wicked heart leading to a disastrous life, that he's repaying us according to the fruit that flows out of our heart, well, it means our certain demise. So what can be done? Is there any hope for those of us who have these broken hearts? The good news is that the Lord is not only the tester and searcher of hearts, but he is also the great heart surgeon. The prophet Ezekiel puts the good news in terms of heart replacement surgery. The Lord proclaims, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Ezekiel 36:25-27. Jesus speaks of this same heart replacement surgery, but he uses slightly different terms. He calls it the new birth. He says in John chapter 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. How does one then receive this new heart, this new birth into this new life? Only by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to say in that same chapter, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. And so the call this morning is to turn from your sins. Turn from trusting in yourself, from trusting in man, and put your trust in Christ. This is the very first step in the Christian life. It is the new beginning, and God will give you a new heart, a new birth, a new life. For if anyone is in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so although this passage confronts us with the bad news of our sinful hearts, the scriptures also teach us the good news, that God offers to give us a new heart when we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ. This trust in the Lord Jesus is the foundation for the second part of our passage we'll be looking at. Second, the trust of the human heart. Verses 5 through 8 compare two different people with two different hearts, trusting in two different powers. First, in verse 5, we have, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." This is the description of that deceitful, desperately sick heart. It is turning away from the Lord. It is trusting in one's own strength, trusting in man, trusting in mortal flesh. Compare this to verse 7. "Blessed, happy, joyful is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." Today you'll often hear the term faith-based to refer to charities motivated by religious faith. I'm sure you've heard of that, a faith-based nonprofit or a faith-based university. But here Jeremiah points out that all people live faith-based lives. All people put their trust in someone or something. The contrast is not between those who have faith and those who do not, but between those who trust in themselves or other men and those who trust in the Lord. The only difference is the object of your faith. In whom are you trusting? In whom does your heart rest and confide? This comparison is fleshed out with this imagery of the two trees. The man trusting in man, verse 6, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. The picture here is of a tree so stunted in its growth, it looks more like a bush than a tree. It's thirsty, never receiving the rain it needs to grow and bear fruit. Its soil is poor, polluted with salt. It's the imagery of the land near the Dead Sea. The land is so salty, hardly anything can grow. And finally, the shrub is all alone in an uninhabited land. Contrast that with the second tree, verse 8. The one trusting in the Lord, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This tree has a never-ending flow of life-sustaining water because it is trusting in the Lord. In fact, two other places in Jeremiah's prophecy, he calls the Lord the fountain of living water, life-giving water. This tree's roots run deep and pick up not only the water, but all the nutrients that are brought to it by the stream. Note that this tree's life is not without its trials and difficulty. Heat and drought will come, even in the believer's life. And yet, the source of water close at hand, it still remains green and bears fruit. And these descriptions here in Jeremiah, they apply to all life. They contrast a life lived trusting in your own resources versus a life lived trusting in the Lord and in his endless resources. But I also want to consider this morning, what does a marriage look like when both husband and wife are trusting in the Lord first and foremost with all their hearts? Let me draw out three applications from verse 8. A marriage trusting in the Lord is planted, it is rooted, and it is fruitful. So first of all, a marriage trusting in the Lord is planted by the stream. Stephen and Emily, as you trust the Lord, you are believing today that it is the Lord himself who has brought you together. He is the one who will plant you and establish you in this marriage. As you hold fast to one another, it is the Lord who will weave you together so that you are no longer two, but become one flesh. He will plant you in the place where you will grow and flourish. And because you live by the stream of living waters, all that you need, not necessarily everything you want, but all that you need to fulfill your purpose in life, to glorify God, to enjoy him forever, all will be provided. So first, a marriage trusting in the Lord is planted by the stream. Second, a marriage trusting in the Lord is rooted. As you look to the Lord to sustain you, send your roots deep into Christ, who is the fountain of living water. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 2:6-7. Let your roots sink deep as you build your life together on the firm foundation of Christ and his word. Jesus promises, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Matthew 7. Here I think it's enlightening to hold these two illustrations in mind at the same time. While the Lord will be your fountain who sates your thirst and feeds you with his word, he can also be the one who brings times of trial. Times of either drought in one illustration, or times of flooding and overwhelming water in the other. But whatever trials come into your lives as a married couple, if your roots are sunk deep in him, if your life is built on the rock, you will have the strength to persevere through every trial. In fact, scriptures teach that the trials will only serve to purify your faith as in a furnace until it shines like pure gold. Here I want to return to one of the questions I asked earlier. I didn't come to the answer. How can two married people trust one another? Of course, it is first necessary to have heart surgery so that the new heart is not deceitful and desperately sick. And yet, for this to be the case, you must first and foremost not trust one another. One another is not your first trust. Your relationship with your spouse must not be the most foundational relationship in your life. Because if your spouse is your first trust, the deepest bedrock on which you build your life, your spouse will fail you in the end. That's just another instance of trusting in man, which will lead you to be like the shrub in the wilderness. Rather, trust first and foremost in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Let the Lord take first place. Let him reign on the throne of your heart. And then as you hold fast to him, as you are planted and rooted in him, then you will find strength to hold fast to one another through every trial, every tribulation. Marriage trusting in the Lord is planted by the stream. It's deeply rooted in Christ. And third, marriage trusting in the Lord is fruitful. We can see this fruitfulness in a few ways. First, you don't trust in the Lord all by yourself, but you are surrounded by Christ's body, the church. In contrast to that lonely shrub in the uninhabited wilderness, the tree planted by the stream is surrounded by life, surrounded by other trees who are also drawing their vital nourishment from the living water of Christ. Then as you live surrounded by brothers and sisters in God's family who encourage you, who support you, who hold you accountable, the Lord then calls you to be fruitful. As believers trusting in Christ with a new heart filled with a new spirit, what flows out of this new heart is called the fruit of the Spirit. We bear this good fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We do this as we rest in Christ. Here we have a slightly different image from John 15. Abide in me, as I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. But of course, as a married couple, you not only bear the fruit of the Spirit, but you are called to bear fruit of another sort. A more visible, a more material sort of fruit, and yet not any less spiritual. As the Lord commanded that first married couple, so you too are called to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, Genesis 1:28. It's in the context of marriage that God has ordained for his people to produce a holy seed, to raise their offspring in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Christ's promises are for you and for your children. And as a married couple trusting in the Lord, our eyes look beyond ourselves to that next generation. Stephen and Emily, I know it is your desire, it is your prayer to, Lord willing, have children. And I do encourage you to pursue it, but not in your own strength. Trust in the Lord and him alone. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. I've been mainly applying these scripture passages and truths to Steve and Emily as they are embarking on a new marriage. I do want to briefly address all of you here today who are already married, whether you've been married a few years or half a century. I encourage you to ask yourself, what is your marriage like today? Is it more like the shrub? Dry, stunted, lonely, stagnant? Or is it like the tree, alive and growing, satisfied by deep streams, flourishing and bearing fruit? If it's more like the former than the latter, and I urge you to consider, where is your trust today? Where is your heart resting? And what fruit is that bearing in your life? Is it good fruit, a vibrant growth, or bad fruit? This morning we've seen the corruption of the human heart. Jeremiah provides this dire diagnosis that everyone here is born with a heart that is dreadfully deceitful, desperately sick. The prognosis without intervention is certain death. But you've also heard the good news. God offers radical heart replacement surgery. A new heart is given to all those who turn from their sin, who turn from trusting in themselves, and instead place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so this morning, if you know the wickedness of your heart, if you realize that your life is like a shrub in the wilderness because your trust is in man, I urge you to turn from your self-trust and trust rather in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you a new heart. We each need this new heart, this new life. And then trusting in the Lord alone, our whole life is transformed to be like that fruitful tree. Stephen and Emily, this applies to your marriage. As you enter marriage, I urge you today, trust first and foremost in the Lord. And only then, secondarily, entrust yourselves to one another. And your marriage will be planted by the stream of living waters. You will grow your roots deep, so that you can withstand every trial, the droughts or the floods, and the Lord will cause you to be fruitful, to have a vibrant, flourishing marriage. This is my final exhortation to you as you enter the covenant of marriage today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, apply now your word to our hearts, to each and everyone here. You are the searcher, the tester of every human heart. You know everyone here. You know which are in need of heart replacement surgery. We pray you would be gracious to grant repentance unto life, to grant saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Steve and Emily come forward now to take their marriage vows, we pray that they would do this trusting in you. May they be planted by the stream. May their roots sink deep into Christ, who is the spring of living waters. May their leaves be always green, and may they never cease to bear good fruit. For we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.